Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 79.
Not you.
Why not me? I mean, a woman pretending to be a man.
You can stop pretending.
And do what?
Be yourself.
And what's that?
What do you mean? You're a woman in love with a man.
Yes.
Are we communicating?
You said a woman in love with a man, but you didn't finish.
Okay. What's the finish?
A woman in love with a man, pretending to be a man.
I said you can stop pretending.
But you see, I don't think I want to.
Harold dialed the third phone, fervently making sure to give each number key a specific, forceful push.
Hello?
Is this Karen Eiffel?
Yes.
My name is Harold Crick. I believe you're writing a story about me.
Evil.
This is the bloody 21st century.
Oh, I didn't mean to. He was just so cute. And now I feel sick.
What do you expect? He's from the fucking music industry.
Oh, just back off.
You drank Ian.
Adam.
You drank Ian.
Sorry.
They never built something like this without a back door in case it collapsed, right?
Never. Never. There's got to be something else. Look around. Everybody look around.
What are we looking for?
I don't know. What is that? Is that something?
Yes. Yes. Yes, George. George.
What is it?
Yes, look. That is the Porta Alchemica. This is the door to the mystical.
Wait, this is a door?
No.
That's a door?
No, but exactly. It works in conjunction with this. Here. This is as above, so below.
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Szilag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Margo Williams.
Hello.
Yes.
Silent T.
Oh, that you said hello. Got it. Okay, in this episode, we are continuing with our theme of movies we miss, but since there are two cruises here, we changed it up a bit in this episode because we do whatever the fuck we want to do.
It's true.
First of all, we're once again joined by the aforementioned other cruiser, Katie Cruz, and Annell Strauss, who, let's be honest, could essentially be a cruise as well. That is legit. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're changing it up, and what does that mean exactly? It means that for this episode, Katie and I picked movies from any year that we felt that some of you may have missed and you should have fucking seen already.
Seriously.
So, this episode we're discussing Victor Victoria, Stranger Than Fiction, and the 2014 films Only Lovers Left Alive and As Above, So Below. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are brought to you by the Deliberate Noise Network. Get your asses to DeliberateNoiseNetwork.com and check out some of their other shows. Finally, I can stop talking for now. And get back to drinking, because it's drink roll call time.
Well, I guess we can go first. I didn't really lead you in there with the script, but we are having a red wine, and what kind of wine are we having, Strauss?
It's 19 Crimes. It's a red blend from Australia.
Sweet name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Australia.
An even sweeter bottle.
Is it like a booty?
No, it's like a mugshot. Like 19 Crimes sent him over to...
Yeah,
Australia.
it's like an Australian, you know, convict from England, and he's got like the old timey picture. And
talk like you're from London, mate.
And it's a frosted bottle, and it's a whole thing.
I got it from a friend on Friday, or I got it from her yesterday, but I worked for her Friday night, and so she gave me a bottle of wine for working for her.
What? You should take a picture and put it on the website.
Nice.
On the Facebook page.
Okay.
On the Facebooks.
We will.
Alright, what about, let's go with younger Cruz. What are you having to drink?
Signature Silver Bullet, Cruz Light, if you will.
Always classy with the God's beer.
Yep.
How about you, Cruiser?
I am drinking, it's the salted watermelon vodka and 7-Up. Because I feel like it should be summer already.
Mm. I mean, I was sweating today. It was so warm. God.
Oh, you can die in a fire. I was talking about people in Nebraska.
Worst case scenario.
It was pretty nice out today.
Though. It was 60 here, so.
Yeah.
That's not bad, guys.
No.
Shut up, asshole.
All right, well, we can go ahead and get ready and start this off with Rachel's pick. It is from 1982, And it is Victor Victoria.
Spaghetti?
Yes. With meatballs.
I'll sleep with you for a meatball.
Murray, this is it!
No one your ideas. Why don't you take a Paris with you,
I just thought she'd help you relax.
What in hell was that?
B flat.
It will work.
Oh, Toddy, it
will
not.
If you listen to me and do exactly as I say, in 6 weeks you'll be the toast of Paris, and we will both be very rich.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, the nightclub is proud to present
one of the great entertainers of our time.
The one and only Victor.
Victoria.
Oh, baby, won't you play me the jazz hot, maybe, and don't ever let me too. Because I love my jazz hot. When you play me the jazz hot, baby, you're my soul together. Don't know whether it's more
you who?
Come on in and play me the jazz hot, baby, cause I love the jazz. The jazz hot.
Set in 1930s Paris. Starving opera singer Victoria is aided by gay cabaret performer Toddy. When Victoria dons Toddy's ex's clothes and then sends the abusive ex flying with a booming shout and an equally booming right hook, Toddy is hit with inspiration. He'll pass her off as a female impersonator, a woman pretending to be a man pretending to be a woman. It all goes well until Chicago businessman King Marchand starts to investigate, sure that a man like himself could never fall for another man. The revelation of King's infatuation brings his bodyguard Squash roaring out of the closet and his spurned mole Norma off to Chicago to plan revenge with King's other business associates.
I don't even think we need to talk about the movie. You just, that was it.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah.
So explain to me why Victor Victoria, like what, this was so far out in left field for me. I had no idea that this existed, let alone that this was going to be something that I have missed. So
obviously, then it falls kind of right into the theme, doesn't it?
I guess so.
You missed it, and you should have.
I missed it when I was 3. I missed it
when I wasn't born yet. We used to watch this when... Katie, this movie reminds me of Grandma Eva.
Grandma Eva, yeah.
We used to watch this at our grandma's house when we were little.
I could see this being a movie that your grandma would put in, like a grandma, not specifically yours, but I could see that.
This doesn't seem very age appropriate for you guys to be watching it though with your grandmother.
Oh, we didn't know.
Grandma's just like, whatever. They don't know.
I don't know. I feel like you'd probably get the general idea during Anel's favorite musical number with the Chicago, Illinois number.
I don't remember that being like overly sexual to me though.
I don't either.
I just remember her being obnoxious.
Yes.
Cause when your brain doesn't function on that level.
Okay,
and so
that part was bad. Made me really uncomfortable.
The Strauss was like, oh my God. Look like on her face anyway.
Like me at Chippendales.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't want to stop watching, but I need to.
Yeah, it was interesting. So you have a long history with this, and you picked this for what? You thought that Anel and I needed to definitely see it?
Because of the fact that I came over to your house and I told you that you can't watch it with Anna in the room, and you're like, why? It's Julie Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, then you obviously don't know what you're getting yourself into.
That's true.
Yeah, it was exactly right.
But it wasn't like it wasn't like it was, like risque or something.
That's what I said, but I said it's probably not the best for, I mean, it was good enough for us, I guess.
She things were a little different back then. A
couple explanations there.
Yeah.
She would have definitely watched and asked questions.
Yeah, sure. I'm like, why is she grabbing her butt? And stuff like that.
Right. Why are there boobs flying around?
Yeah.
So what did we think on this rewatch? Katie, what did you think of it?
I love this movie, and I think it probably has some nostalgia to me, which is probably why I'm a little more attached to it than normal. I definitely missed so much of this movie as a child.
Yeah.
Going back, like, if you would have asked me what it was about, I never would have been like, oh, the underlying theme is obviously homosexuality in every way, shape, and form. I would have been like, oh, it's, you know, singing and Julie Andrews, and it's probably about the only thing I would have given you then, but I like this movie, and I like it even more rewatching it.
Alrighty. Strauss, what did you think about it?
I liked it a lot. When you first put it in, I was like, is this a musical?
Of course it is. Rachel picked it.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. But then after a while, I was like, oh, this is nice. This mm-hmm. is good. I love the an old queen with a head cold.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Toddy's so funny.
Toddy is really is a lot of fun.
I love their relationship, and it was really good. But it also made me feel nervous, like the I Love Lucy watchings. Like, I would feel so nervous for Lucy, and so, like,
oh, yeah.
I got that feeling of like, oh man, they're totally going to figure out that she's not a man. But it was fun. It was a fun story.
Yeah.
I liked it. So thank you.
Sure.
What I thought was interesting about it was I kind of had that same general, I guess, worry.
Yeah.
I was like, Victor mm-hmm. Victoria, the early 80s, a musical. I was like, God, why in the world is this still like an old boy thing or what's going on?
Oh my gosh, you're punishing me.
Yeah, I was like, is this like a continual thing where, you know, and I talked about how, oh, maybe I'll pick a movie that Katie's going to hate earlier in this, in this theme. And so I was like, is this what Rachel's trying to do to me or what's going on here? And so, when we finally started watching it, I was like, okay, well, it's early, you know, Paris, 1930s Paris. I was like, that's kind of interesting. And the more it went on, I guess I shouldn't say the more it went on. I guess fairly early on, I was pretty charmed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, oh, this is fun. Oh, this was fun. Oh, look at mm-hmm. this. This is nice. And, you know, I thought that the bits that were supposed to be funny were funny. I thought that she's obviously quite a singer. I thought that, I don't know. Like, I pretty much liked just about everything about it.
Yeah.
See? And you were going to miss it if I wouldn't have brought it up.
That's right. I wouldn't have sought it out, I would think.
Yeah. I could listen to Julie Andrews sing just about anything.
I know. Them telling her no in the beginning, I was like, really?
Idiots!
Yeah.
It's Julie Andrews. That's not realistic.
And I didn't realize, that it was Blake Edwards. So
I know
they have the whole like sneaking around in the hotel thing, and that is like so Pink Panther.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they had the sneaking around there. They had and I remember Annelle was getting nervous when the crappy waiter was.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Yeah.
And he's like cockroach.
Yeah. And so I knew that she was getting a little tense during those scenes. Yeah. And
that whole scene where, like, they show the restaurant from the outside and they're fighting. I love that.
It's so good. Yeah. Yes.
Although I thought it was funny because, you know, in the restaurant biz, it was interesting to me to watch Annelle's reaction to when the cockroach scene, to where she's like, God, this guy is a terrible waiter.
Yeah.
Appalled at him.
He shouldn't get a tip ever.
No. Like, he should be fired.
One of the parts of the movie that I absolutely do not like is at the very beginning, the noise that guy is making when he's eating that donut.
Oh, oh. My God. Oh, and watching that made me want to vomit. Yeah. I had the warm spits in my mouth.
It was like, oh, God.
Yep, I did write down, God, this guy eating the pastry.
Like, he looks like he is starving, and he's just going after it. Like,
right.
Take just, smaller bites.
It's just, like, the whole gluttony thing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's kind of what I thought the movie was going to be about. You know?
Oh, like class?
Well, I thought it was going to be like a class, like a, you know, the haves and the have-nots.
Oh, but sure.
That's in there some, but it's not, you know, it's obviously not the main theme or anything.
Right.
I thought that the Gay Puri song was a lot of fun. I really liked that. His Toddy's opening number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yep. He just gets in bar fights all the time.
I know. It's so, I want to party with him.
Party with Toddy.
Yeah. I want him to be my best friend.
Right?
I want him to dress me and have drinks thing. With me.
And undress? No.
So that would be weird.
So like for me, obviously, like, I have such a, like, Mary Poppins Sound of Music, Julie Andrews too, but, like, was anyone convinced that she actually looked like a dude?
No.
No. And see, Anel had
so feminine.
Yeah. I was like, she sounds too much like a girl. There's no way that anyone could be really that convinced that that's...
It was that opening number where she's dressed like a woman, but we're not really told that, you know, she's gonna have this reveal that it's a man. The first time she comes out as Victoria, and Anel's kind of like, well, what the hell? She's singing way too loud, or way too high. You know, like having problems with it. And then when there's the reveal for the audience and for the audience in the movie, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't work for the audience watching the movie, because you're like, well, it's Julie Andrews. She doesn't sound like a guy. She doesn't look like a guy. Like, that was the only part where...
And, like, her boobs were too real.
Yeah, you know? Like, when they dress her later.
I didn't know back then what they would do as cross-dressers to make themselves look, like, to have boobs. But hers just looked too real, I thought, with that Spanish dress.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But then I'm, like, thinking about, like, drag shows in Vegas, and, like, Britney Spears looks just like Britney Spears.
Oh, yeah.
And they were, like, leotards, and you're like, where do you
where is it? That? Where is it? Tell me.
It's magic.
So it's a magic and a, you know, drag show.
I liked the part where they came out and they had, when they went back to the gay club and the performers had the masks on.
Oh,
and they would turn around and be like half
naked.
Oh,
yeah. That was really cool.
That was super cool. That was fun. The masks looked just like the people. I really liked that.
Yeah, we were talking about how that would be a fun show to go see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like an actual show where that's the whole deal is just the masks on the backs of their heads and all that. Like that's a pretty impressive bit of choreography to get them to.
Oh yeah.
You know, move your hand backwards and all that.
Right.
Did anyone else think that Norma, the blonde girl, reminded you of the irritating woman from Singing in the Rain?
Yes. Boom.
Mm. It's the first word that came out of her mouth. I was like, oh god.
No, it's the same voice. It's the same, like, level of obnoxiousness. What, am I dumb or something?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
exactly what it was.
When she's trying to turn him on, I was like, oh, there's no way.
No.
No wonder he can't get it up. Like,
oh, my God. I'm dry right now.
Oh, my God.
But like,
Dale's has changed you.
I know, right? I'm a different woman. But like, I love when he just, like, Julie Andrews just calmly takes her into that room.
Oh, right.
And she's like, lock the door. And then you're waiting for the scream. And it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, wait, lock the door. Like,
lock the door.
Oh, God, her voice.
How do we like, the fact that we have a Lord of the Rings cast member as the club owner? Did you guys recognize John Reeves Davies?
Nope.
Who played Gimli, the dwarf in Lord of the Rings? He was the club where Victoria, where she performed.
Where they made all the money.
Yeah, the pink room.
Oh,
really?
He was he's the club owner there.
No shit.
And so when you hear, like, once you know that, when you either look at the cast list or when you rewatch the movie and see him clapping and yelling and all that, you're like, oh, holy shit, it is completely Gimli from Lord of the Rings.
Weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
That's really weird.
That is weird. What do we think what do we think about Toddy's impersonation of the Spanish song there at the end?
It was my favorite part of the movie.
It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it was great. It was really good. I was thinking, you know, it got close to teetering on being too long, and like, It's such a fine line between that going on for too long and it being like too sloppy and silly.
Yeah.
Where yes. I can be like, oh, okay, this is enough. But I think that it does it just, I think it's handled very, very well. I think it does it just enough and isn't quite annoying, quite to the annoying part.
Yeah. Did you look up the trivia on IMDb?
No, I didn't.
He did that scene, he did that all in one take.
And that was even better.
Yeah.
And, like, he ripped the dress, obviously, when he was doing it, and they never fixed it. So whatever museum it's in right now, it still has all the rips from when he wore it.
Nice.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I think it needed to be that long because there's all these scenes of, like, the crowd is like, oh, this really is what we're coming to see, like, this is a real man trying to be a woman.
Mm.
And then there's all the scenes where Julie Andrews is, like, giving up the stage and he's just laughing at himself, and I don't know, I think it needed to be that long.
Yeah. Right.
It was really funny when they dropped him.
Yeah, it was funny.
Yes.
Yes.
That was good. All right, well, is there anything else that we wanted to say about this one before we moved?
No, I'm glad that we got to watch it.
Me too.
Yes, it was
a good pick.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, well, let's move on to Small Cruise and her selection Young Cruise from 2006. It is Stranger Than Fiction.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Are you Miss Eiffel?
Yes.
Am I interrupted?
Yes.
I'm the assistant your publishers hired.
The publishers think I have writer's block.
Do you have writer's block?
I don't know how to kill Harold or Chris.
This is a story about a man named Harold Crick. Harold lived a life of solitude. He would walk home alone. He would eat alone. When others' minds would fantasize about their upcoming day...
Hello?
Harold just counted brush strokes.
All right, who just said Harold just counted brush strokes?
Dave, I'm being followed. How are you being followed? You're not moving. It's by a woman's voice. She's narrating. Oh.
Harold couldn't concentrate on his work.
I can't think while you're talking.
You have a voice speaking to you.
About me, accurately, and with a better vocabulary.
Harold found himself exasperated.
Shut up!
Cursing the heavens in futility.
No, I'm not. I'm cursing you, you stupid voice. So shut up and leave me alone.
So you're the young gentleman who called me about the narrator.
The thing to determine conclusively is whether you're in a comedy or a tragedy.
Have you met anyone recently who might loathe the very core of you?
I'm an IRS agent.
Get bent, tax man!
Everyone hates me.
Well, that sounds like a comedy.
Have you written anything new today?
I figured out how to kill Harold Crick.
Little did he know that events had been set in motion that would lead to his imminent death.
What?
Why? Hello? Come on!
This woman, Karen Eiffel, one of my favorite authors.
That's her. That's the voice. She's the narrator.
Karen Eiffel, my name is Harold Crick. I believe you're writing a story about me.
Is this a joke?
You have to understand that this isn't a story to me. It's my life.
I want to live.
I need to speak to Karen Eiffel. I'm one of her characters.
I'm sorry?
I'm in her new book, and she's going to kill me.
Oh.
How exciting is that?
Everybody knows that your life is a story, but what if a story was your life? Harold Crick is your average IRS agent, monotonous, boring, which is the same, and repetitive. But one day, this guy that wrote this is not good. But one day this all changes when Harold begins to hear an author inside his head narrating his life. The author is extraordinarily accurate, and Harold recognizes the voice as an esteemed author he saw on TV. But when the narration reveals that he's going to die, Harold must find the author of the story and ultimately his life to convince her to change the ending before it's too late. So this is Katie's pick, and this is a Will Ferrell, Emma Thompson, Dustin Hoffman movie, and it,
Actually, I think it's a movie starring Emma Thompson and other people who are not as adorable as Emma Thompson.
I can go along with that.
Okay.
So what is it about Stranger Than Fiction that you wanted to make sure that we saw?
This has been one of my favorite movies for a while. I also felt like it was very underrated. This is one of those movies that, like, I would talk about and people would look at me and I'd be like, you haven't seen this movie? And it was then I realized that it didn't do as well as it had done for me. But, no, fair I don't enough. Know if it's like the writer in me that really likes this movie. I am obviously a Will Ferrell fan and like the slapstick comedy, but I like him in this movie a lot because he brings some of that humor into it, but it's a very different role for him. Mm-hmm. And I love Emma Thompson, but just like the idea that he's kind of going crazy and then changes his whole life around for it. But I love this movie. It's a winner.
What's funny about this is, I think I was talking to maybe just Rachel and I was like, Stranger Than Fiction, like that's kind of an interesting choice. And she had said, well, yeah, Katie loves it.
I said that. Loves
it. I do love this movie.
Like I have heard you bring this up at like several parties and like people look at you like you're fucking, and then you look at them more like they're fucking idiots than they look at you.
Yes. So Cruz, what do you think about this movie? Are you on the same boat as Little Sister or what?
I don't think that anyone can be on that level of enjoying this movie. I definitely love the premise. Like I have already told you, I have a girl crush on Emma Thompson. Mm-hmm. And Dustin Hoffman could have been one of my English professors. I don't even know. That was pretty comfortable looking role for him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't super love Will Ferrell. He was good in this, but he didn't like steal my heart, I guess. Like I was okay at the end. Like I had seen this before and I remember watching it and going, oh, you can't kill somebody. But then watching it this time, I was like, no, that's fine. I was like, let Emma have her beautiful story. Okay. And I'm just like, you. Allow yourself to die.
It's the 3 years of podcasting. Is that Williams?
It's gotta be. It's gotta be. Cause I was like, I can't believe that like, you're going to take like her, you know, opus her away from her. Yeah. Yes. Asshole. That's all I could think of.
Strauss, what did you think about it? Cause this is a first watch for you. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. What did you think?
I'm thinking what's going to happen to me in 3 years.
That's right.
She's going to
just be an absolute bitch. I'm working.
But you were nice, Strauss.
I'm working on her.
I thought it was a lot of fun. Like I hadn't seen it and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So when I saw Will Ferrell, I was like, oh, what?
Mm-hmm.
This will be fun. Yeah, it was cute. I'm glad he didn't die.
Mm.
Of course. Okay.
I think that this was the one that I at least knew of the two that you guys brought to us from not this year. And
far away.
I remember seeing the premise, or I remember seeing the trailers for this and going, oh, that could be interesting. Like Emma Thompson being a narrator, that'll be fun. But I was like, I don't know, Will Ferrell though. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. And I thought he was really good in what he was trying to do. Like, I like it when comedic actors, especially those that are known for slapstick, are toning it down some, but don't try to go full serious.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. I like it when, like, I like Jim Carrey in, the fucking movie with the weird name that I can't think of right now, with Kirsten Dunst.
Oh.
And Kate Winslet.
Eternal Sunshine.
Oh my god, don't even talk about that movie.
So anyway, I think that he's really good in that, and so I think Will Ferrell is not playing obviously the same type of a role or the same heartbreaking role, but I think that he is sort of inching towards being a dramatic actor in this movie. And I thought that that was fun to see him try to do that, but yet still keep his Will Ferrell-isms and his screaming and, you know.
So you like that he didn't yes. Steve Carell you.
Yeah, he didn't go Steve Carell, although I'm really excited and kind of anxious to see Foxcatcher and to see what he does in a fully dramatic role.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But anyway, the long way to say it is that I really enjoyed this quite a bit. and was kind of surprised at how much I liked it. So both of the cruises did a really good job picking.
Yeah,
boom!
Did.
Yes!
High five!
And so
we won this round.
Nailed it.
Yeah, we were both like, wow, that was really good when we got done with both of these
movies.
Yeah,
and then we were both like, oh, shit.
Spoil it. So
anyway,
so,
wait, what?
So yeah, I was definitely on Rachel's side, though. I was like, no way, he has to die. Like,
yes! Oh, my God.
I was like, there's that, he absolutely has to.
Okay, because this is my argument. If he would have never heard her voice, he would have done the same repetitive crap until he died anyway. And so, like, she gave him, like, a good couple weeks. And he should just say thank you and then throw himself in front of a bus.
It's like My Life with Michael Keaton.
Oh, sorry. If you would have said Michael Keaton.
I know. I was like, what?
What? Oh, you guys.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh.
Rachel, I love that we were like,
what?
I had no idea what you were talking about there.
Too close? Uh-huh.
But, geez Louise, I was really opening up there, you thought. But
I thought you were just going to get slapped in the face.
But no, the movie My Life with Michael Keaton, where he has like 2 weeks to live and tries to make it as best as he can.
Oh, sure.
But anyway, so I thought that it was, I thought it was really good. I obviously thought that Emma Thompson was very British and very perfectly Emma Thompson.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yeah, and Queen Latifah was fun.
No, I don't like her at all.
She was.
She
worked fine for what her role was.
She came on and I was like, oh, okay, stereotypical casting moment.
But she wasn't, I mean, like, that could have been anybody. And as long as they delivered the lines semi-okay, it would have been fine. Like, it didn't even need to be a famous person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know, that felt almost like it was a, hey, you're under contract for two more movies. You just want to have this role or what? That's what it felt like to me, because she didn't add anything to the film by it being her.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Like we were saying, yeah.
But, like, her, like, researching stuff, like, people are looking at her weird, and I'm like, that's not weird. You're weird.
Oh, or she's watching.
She can hang out at the hospital if she wants. That's legit.
Yeah.
I was defending her, because that's, you know, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Some of the things that I wrote fuck you twice in my four lines of
notes. Oh, God.
Oh, good
shit.
But anyway, my first fuck you was I really don't like the idea of writer's block, because I feel like I don't know what that's like, that mm-hmm. I have not enough time to write what I want to. And then when I hear like this, oh, I have writer's block, it's like, oh my God, like switch places with me, please. Like give me the time, the free time to have writer's block. You know what I mean? So
well,
I was,
yeah.
So I'm frustrated by
God.
That. And then my other fuck you was the end, which I called feelings before art. And so I fuck you to that. Dora, I was like, you know, don't, what's ultimately the movie about? To me, it was about Emma Thompson and her life, not about Will Ferrell. Cause that's what I was more interested in.
Right.
So I was like, well, give me the artist's perfect punctuation on her career, not this dopey IRS guy that falls in love with the ugly Gyllenhaal. So
the ugly one.
She's cute.
I think Jake's cuter.
So
does Eric.
I think she looks
so for once, Eric and I both agree that someone should have died at the end. Is this what's happening right now?
What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
The other two
damn, Gina.
Live.
Yeah. Well, the younger ones.
No, Katie said he should die, right, Katie?
Yeah, I mean, especially for, like, the book, I thought that, you know, for her purpose, he definitely should have died. But, I don't know, I think my take on the ending of the movie was, instead of, you know, having this harsh, necessary ending for her art and what everyone wants her to have for her book, like, it turned into the happy ending. And I know that it's, like, cliche, but I think that was the point of it, is to, like, just let him have his life instead of deciding to off somebody just because he can and just looking, I don't know. I liked the ending and I'm glad that he stayed alive, but I think for her book, personally, he probably shouldn't have died, but whatever.
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
I mean,
it's breaking the mold of her other stories that are all in the same and all that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Hmm. So it's just Strauss. Strauss is the only romantic that wanted him to survive, I guess.
Well, that's okay. I'm used to that role.
Yeah. She's used to me standing and chanting for someone to die.
Die,
crying.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's how it goes.
He's at the grocery store doing that.
Oh, my God.
I'm waiting for someone to slip and just
waiting for someone to run into you so you can flip out.
Yeah. It's true. Now, something that's interesting that Mark Forrester, the director, did for this, that I don't know what it really adds, but he decided to use all of those infographics at the beginning of the movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What did you guys make of that, Katie? What did you think of that? Because it's very design heavy.
Oh, I think it's so cool. I loved like the fluidity of it. I think it's very eye catching and it kind of brings you into it right away. As much as I loved like the way that it was presented, I don't understand why it was necessary if they didn't use anything similar throughout the rest of the film because they didn't bring it up ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked how it was done and I liked that a lot, but I think it was just a little misplaced, sort of out of nowhere.
What did you think, Rachel?
Kind of the same thing. I just was like, oh, that's cool. I wasn't like, I don't know. It didn't take or add anything to the movie for me, I guess. So.
Okay. Strauss, what did you like that? Seeing him counting his steps and the numbers behind him and all that, or was that just kind of?
Eh? I mean, yeah, it was more visual to the, like, her audio. Mm-hmm. But if it wouldn't have been there, I probably would have been able to follow it just the same.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was a fun little.
Yeah, I guess that was a little thing where I felt like it was cute, but I didn't really know what it amounted to.
Yeah.
It just was kind of like it had sort of seemed unnecessary, I guess, is what everyone's generally saying. So.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of gave you like a peek into how his brain worked, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Maybe.
Like,
cause I was like, I know when I look at things, I don't think math ever. So that's new. Yeah.
Right. Like, maybe, like an OCD type of thing. Like maybe that's how they look at today.
Yeah, maybe. That's as good an explanation as any, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Just making shit up.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else about Stranger Than Fiction that you guys wanted to mention that I didn't bring up or that you didn't bring up? No?
No.
Negative? All right. let's move into 2014, which was what this damn theme was supposed to be to begin with.
Baby.
Shall we?
For Christ's sake. And let's start with my film, which came out in April of 2014, and it is called Only Lovers Left Alive.
Regards to that suicidally romantic scoundrel.
Well, let's hope he's just romantic.
You being so reclusive in everything is probably only going to make people more interested in your music.
Yeah. What a drag.
Shouldn't she be sleeping in a coffin somewhere?
I'm really, really hungry.
Could you smell it all the way from LA?
We're gonna have so much fun together.
We gotta go. Right now. Come in.
Is that the really good stuff?
Precisely.
Typo.
I protect his secrets and your soul.
How can you have lived for so long and still not get it? You've been pretty lucky in love, though, if I may say so.
I have what you need.
Not what I need.
Set against the romantic desolation of Detroit and Tangiers, an underground musician, deeply depressed by the direction of human activities, reunites with his resilient and enigmatic lover. Their love story has already endured several centuries at least, but their lives are soon disrupted by her wild and uncontrollable younger sister. Can these wise but fragile outsiders continue to survive as the modern world collapses around them? Dun dun dun.
So, that is not what I got out of that movie.
Can I first interject that the theme should obviously be changed to Tilda Swinton?
That should be
right. That was my second note. Why do you keep forcing me to watch Tilda Swinton?
Tilda Swinton is in everything that we've done.
Yeah,
in at least one movie, everything that we've done. Anyway, continue.
And she's had three this last year, so it's kind of funny.
She's busy. She's a busy girl. We're a fan.
She's a busy little lady.
Mm.
Fan of the Twitch.
Yeah. So this was my pick. This was a movie that, I don't know, I guess I had sort of vaguely heard of it. It wasn't one that I was really that overly eager to see, but I had heard of it, and I knew that it got a lot of praise critically. And I knew that it was Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton, and they were vampires, and it was a Jim Jarmusch film. So I was like, okay, well, that'll be slow, but maybe interesting, because that's kind of how a lot of his films are, is they're very methodical and very, you know, take their time. And so I watched it, and, you know, I watched it probably 1.5 times, because I watched a lot of it with Anel when she was finishing up her watch, and I liked it more than I didn't. I wasn't in love with it. I liked it a lot more when I was rewatching it with her, once I sort of got away from the plot of it all and wasn't so concerned with what was actually going to happen next. Once I got away from that.
Or not happen?
Yeah, or not happen. Once I got away from that, I was kind of enjoying it a little bit more, but it is very slow and there's not much that happens. And the music is very oppressive. So if you do not like the music, you're going to have a hard time with the movie, I think. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great, though. I was frankly a little disappointed. Let's go to Rachel next.
You don't want to hear what I have to say.
Lay it on me, Cruz. What'd you think?
My third note is, wow, real fucking artsy, guys. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that they were vampires because, like I always preach, I go into movies trying not to know absolutely anything about them. So
mission
I just turn it on. Yep. Usually it works out well for me. I always like vampire, zombie movies like that, just to see what one person's take is on like the rules, you know, like how they are supposed to live and what they can do and can't do.
Right.
Because they're always different. I did call it Before Sunrise for Vampires, because that's kind of what it reminded me of, to be honest with you.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
A lot of dialogue, and they love each other. I thought at the beginning that it was gonna be like a, what's that superhero movie with Will Smith?
Oh, Hancock.
Yeah, where they like have to be apart.
Or
they were apart for a reason, like they didn't like each other. But like she calls him and she's like, do you want me to come over? And I'm like, all right. So that's not a thing. I'm not like super upset that I watched it. It definitely was an old boy status or anything. I wanted to punch that little sister in the face.
Oh, Mia Wasikowska.
I did not enjoy her.
What a biatch. Like,
She's great at being so annoying.
But it's so funny because like they're talking like a couple, like your sister can't come over. Oh, she's my sister, you know, like.
That's hitting close. That hits close to home for.
That does not hit close to home.
It does not hit close to home.
It's like, I wish your sister would come.
It does over in these parts.
Oh, I said, how come he looks like a normal rock star and she looks like White Predator?
Yes, or like Brad Pitt from Legends of the Fall.
Oh yeah, or I said the dreadlock twins from The Matrix, like the second one, I think.
Oh yeah, with the white and the black, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like those are my notes, I think. Is it a rule that if you're a vampire, you're not obligated to brush your hair?
I thought maybe she was supposed to be like an albino African American.
Right.
I wasn't sure. I was just really confused by how they did that to her.
And I wrote,
if she is Eve, how old is her hair?
But she's not really Eve.
Right. That's just her name.
Like, she's not like Adam and
1800s.
Eve.
1800s. Or something.
Well, she's old as fuck. I mean,
yeah, she said you missed the Middle Ages. So like she was alive during that shit.
Yeah. Katie, what did you think of it? All right. We got the cruises in similar in tight step here.
Like you said, I didn't hate it. It was, I don't know, I was watching it and I just kind of didn't, I just didn't know what the story was. I just felt like they'd started something and then there was no real like big plot twist or big climax to something. Like it felt very like all lateral to me. Like nothing really got exciting or whatever. I mean, when the sister drank the friend, I died laughing when he's like, "You drank Ian." Like,
yeah.
I couldn't handle that, but I mean, I guess that might have been their one instance, but as far as everything else goes, like there wasn't anything scary about it. There wasn't really like, I mean, I guess it was a love story, but not really. It was just like two people that were married just hanging out. I don't know, it was very unusual. I did like that, like the blood drinking thing was like a high instead of just like trying to survive. Like it was like a drug to them. That was like an interesting take on it. But the one thing, this is a very small minute thing that has nothing to do with anything, those toadstools that talking about, I did not understand the concept of that. I tried to rewind it and rewatch it and I just didn't know what they meant. Also, I wanted her to touch it and it to turn into the cream like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Because it looked so much like it. And the only reason Blake started watching it with me because it was set in Detroit.
Yeah, the romantic Detroit.
Right.
I thought that the conversations about Detroit was really odd. Like when they were talking about Jack White.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're just like had this sort of romantic musings about Detroit and about how it was going to come back because of the water and all that. And I was like, who gives a shit? Like,
I know.
For a Nebraskan, I was like, who cares about Detroit? Like, I don't have any connection to that at all.
Well, and I think what part of the movie was trying to do was to, like, bring some publicity to Detroit? Like, they were trying to talk about the music scene and, you know, kind of trying to bring that back in. But Blake did say that at night, the streets of Detroit are literally bare like that, which is kind of terrifying.
Horrifying.
They can find like an acid pool in an abandoned warehouse.
Yeah.
I mean, what probably.
Put Ian in, yeah.
Poor Ian.
Probably, I'm sure.
Strauss, what did you think about this?
I will go along with Rachel and say that I liked seeing vampires from another point of view. Mm-hmm. I also didn't know what it was about. So at first when he was making the wooden bullet, I was like, he's a fucking vampire. I was like, babe, he's a vampire. And he's like, Eric's like, yeah, like that's the point of the movie. And I was like, oh, well, you didn't tell me. I'm not going to look at this and be like, oh, it's a vampire movie. Like, I had no idea. I don't care enough to look it up.
Well, she's like slapping my arm like, hey, he's a vampire. They're vampires. I was like, yeah.
I thought I figured it out. Like, I thought I was like,
you should have just let her have that one, asshole.
Yeah, well, that's not how I do things.
So they weren't vampires in the book.
Oh, my God.
So.
It's funny.
I thought I figured it out. And then when I really figured it out, I was like, it was pretty slow moving. Yeah, I just liked seeing the vampire part. That was fine.
She's not super enthusiastic about this one.
I was super annoyed with the little sister. I was like, get out of here. She's just ruining.
Because you just knew that she was there to ruin stuff.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And it's, I just don't like that. Like, if you know someone's going to be a problem, don't let them into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they haven't changed, it's not going to change. So.
Woof.
Yeah.
I have a question. Who were the zombies?
Oh my gosh, yes.
People, zombies?
No, that's normal people.
Yeah, that's just what he called regular people.
Okay.
So he's like way cooler than us?
Yes.
Whatever.
I guess. Whatever. also, I had a really hard time for like the first 15 minutes of the movie deciphering what time period this movie was in. Well, I couldn't figure it out until I saw the iPhone. I was like, current time.
Yeah, because he had all the crazy technology, but it was on his like old tube TV.
Right. It could have been the 80s or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Some of the things where I was reaching and I was like, okay, maybe this is what this is. Maybe it's interesting because of this. It was really like, I felt really, like it had a real hypnotic tone watching it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it was really dreamy and slow and that kind of thing. And so I was like, well, maybe that's what these vampires always feel like. So it's supposed to be some kind of a representation of this is how their lives are, to where it's always like this. Like it's not exciting. It's not fast paced. It's just like this every single day. But then I was like, well, that's all well and good, but that doesn't equal enjoyment of watching the film. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right. That's
interesting enough as it is if that's actually the interpretation you're supposed to have. But I was kind of like, well, I don't know. That doesn't add to my enjoyment of it, I guess. So anyway, so that's Only Lovers Left Alive. Do we have anything else about that one?
I thought it was really sad when she had to pick which book she was going to leave there.
I know. Man.
But that was it.
Okay.
She went back to him. So.
She did. I didn't think she was coming back because she was like across the country.
Right. World, you mean?
Why were they apart anyway?
I don't know.
I mean, if you were married to someone that long, wouldn't you probably spend some time apart?
I think I need to go across the earth from you.
And we've been married for 500 years. Let's take a minute.
And you still can't pick your goddamn socks up off the floor. Yeah.
And you still can't stop being depressed about how shitty the world is.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, let's move on to our last film. It is from August of 2014, and it is an Els pick, and it is called As Above, So Below.
My name is Scarlett Marlowe, and I'm a student in urban archaeology.
370 feet beneath this point is a hidden chamber
that might contain a critical missing piece of our history.
The clues are encoded somehow in these arcane symbols. No. I need to have a look behind it.
No!
Help me!
Careful. Okay, that's pretty cool.
We have to get down there.
How are we supposed to get 370 feet into the earth?
Catacombs. There are 200 miles of tunnels right underneath our feet.
They're holding the remains of 6 million corpses.
Stop. This is the Empire of the Dead.
These are human bones.
Let's do it.
Okay, we go through here.
Keep it slow and steady, yeah?
I'm stuck.
No, just
I'm
move. Stuck. Just
move. I can't breathe.
Just breathe with me, please.
What was that?
Go forward!
Is everyone okay?
I think I am.
What the hell do we do now, huh?
We can't go back. We should just keep moving.
Nobody uses this corridor. People who go in this tunnel don't come out.
There's no other option.
Tell me we didn't just go in a circle.
It's exactly the same.
No, everything's upside down.
What happened to the entrance?
Wait, there's something here.
Oh my god.
What the hell is this?
When I was a kid, we had a piano that looked exactly like this. I used to play it all the time. The A4 key was fucked up.
Can you read that?
According to mythology, that's the inscription over the gates of hell.
The fuck is wrong with him?
Sorry. Are you okay? Oh my god!
somebody there? Hello?
George!
What's happening to us?
Dad?
This place knows our past.
Danny!
It's my brother!
Come on! It's not real!
It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault!
We have to jump.
What? We'll die.
Hold on! Hold on!
Did you hear that?
Miles of twisting catacombs lie beneath the streets of Paris, the eternal home to countless souls. When a team of explorers ventures into the uncharted maze of bones, they uncover the dark secret that lies within this city of the dead. A journey into madness and terror, as above so below, reaches deep into the human psyche to reveal the personal demons that come back to haunt us all. So, this, I believe, and I'm going to guess, because I love talking so much, but I believe that this was a... Oh, that looks like a fun trailer. We should watch that sometime.
Yes.
Isn't that what this pick was?
Yeah.
I knew it. So what did you think of your pick? How did you like it?
I didn't write anything down.
We collectively wrote nothing.
I wrote down the title.
Oh my god. And my name.
And the date.
And my name and the date.
And what period I'm in.
Yeah.
Period two.
What my teacher's name is. I wanted it to be more of a scary movie. Like the scary parts were at the very end. And then there was like a few that you jumped.
Oh, there was one point where I jumped way up in the air and
he
yelled and everything.
So big that I looked at him and I jumped and spilled my wine.
Oh yeah,
like,
that's
I wasn't
right.
even looking at the TV. I was watching him jump and I jumped.
Because I did one of those, you know,
I'm not empathetic.
We're watching it at 1-2 o'clock at night, and I did one of those. Oh fuck! And she sees me and spills her wine all over. So,
oh my god,
spills my wine.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's when you know shit's serious, though. Old Steel Hand Strauss over there. She doesn't spill her wine.
Steel Hand Strauss.
Is that like Katie Shovel Arms?
It's kind of.
Pretty much. You're lucky if it is.
I feel like that should be the hashtag for this show.
Katie Steel Hand Strauss. That should be your new name.
That's her new, her new Twitter name.
So I mean, it was fine. It wasn't anything to write home about.
Yeah. What did Rachel think of this one?
Rachel drank a bottle of wine and watched this, and yes. I have a lot of notes.
All right.
Oh, nice.
A lot.
Bring it.
And there are exclamation points everywhere.
Let's hear them.
I like it.
I said she has a British accent, so she seems exotic, but still speaks English for us idiots.
Yes.
Scarlett, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's, like, pretty generic as, like, a heroine. Let's see. Skulls are not cool.
What did you guys think of the fact that we had this cast of nobodies, so any of them could have died because none of them are actual movie stars?
It just made me mad because it reminded me of, like, Blair Witch.
Oh,
yeah.
And so I was like, oh, man, okay.
So, Rachel, real quick on the skull thing. Like, I've been to France once, and I told Eric, I was like, I want to go to France with you sometime. We should go on one of these catacombs, like, little adventures. And then more down the movie, I was like, we're not going on one. Just kidding.
I made a list of times I would have left. And I have six of them, I think. The back notes of this is really just... I don't think I can actually read it, but I would have left as soon as the water went above my ankles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
I would have left after we walked by the weird people cave that were singing.
Oh, yeah.
For
the
sure.
naked singer, yeah.
Yep, I would have figured it out how to get out of there. I would have left after crawling across the bones. I would have left after seeing any rats.
Mm-hmm.
I would have left anywhere. I would have crawled through the wall after the phone rang. I would have, like, found somewhere to go.
Yeah.
And then I would have left the first time we had to go down to get out.
Yeah.
So I understand that, like, me, like, trying to leave at that point would have been impossible, but I don't care.
Would have been some major panic happening.
Yeah, them yep. having to go oh, yeah. down farther and farther was just getting really creepy.
Mm-hmm. I would have been like, you guys are stupid!
Katie, what did you think?
I don't know if I let you guys know this, but I hate horror films more than anything in the whole wide world. Whenever I watch a horror film, I have a reoccurring dream every time.
Wow, and that's the best.
No, it's not. And like, I don't know, I had no idea what this movie was about. I started watching it and I thought it was going to be like National Treasure on steroids, kind of.
I had that vibe.
So there, you know, it's like all about the history, which I was really into because historical fiction is one of my favorite genres. And so I was like, ooh, this will be interesting to see all the stuff they find. But then it turned really creepy. I actually have a line in here that says, this is a horror movie. Fuck this shit.
I'm sorry.
I was not pleased. most of it, it's okay. Blake did a really good job of convincing me to try to turn it off and read Clips Notes about it because I didn't want to watch it. I had like my hands peeking through my fingers as I was watching this movie. And I love that you said you wish it was scarier. Anyway. Once I got into it, I think what's really funny is the scariest part for me was like in the beginning when the guy filming was stuck. That like gave me the most anxiety, like
him
being stuck there and freaking out. I was doing the same thing.
Yes.
As far as everything else went, like, you know, obviously making it to like the gates of hell and doing all of those things and encountering all of these weird, like the piano and his little brother and her dad and all of those things down there. I kind of had to talk myself into it being like, oh, that's stupid. That's not scary. Like that's, you know, whatever.
That's dumb.
But I mean, there was a point where I was like, would you really continue going? I don't think anyone ever would, even if you are one of these really crazy nerdy people. But yeah, there were so many times, like Rachel said, that I'd have been like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Definitely wouldn't have done this. I for sure thought everyone was going to die.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a perfect storm ending, but I'm surprised somebody won. And not surprised somebody that won. George obviously became the love interest, called that in the beginning.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, but
I would have just gotten arrested by the French police and like,
I know.
I wish that would have been my side of the story. Like, ooh, a scary night in the French prison. That's fine.
One night in the French prison.
I think that Katie should definitely never watch, and I think Rachel will probably remember this, but she should never watch The Descent. The cave.
Another cave movie.
Scary movie. Shit.
Yeah, that's probably one of the scarier horror movies I've seen in a long time.
Definitely won't.
Or, there are just movies that you shouldn't watch.
But with being stuck in caves.
That's
and stuff.
Like this on steroids.
Yeah.
Hardcore at the end.
I do my best to avoid horror films, so that is an entire. Those are all those movies are movies that I have never seen, nor do I have any desire to see.
If I would have known that, I probably would have picked something different.
It's okay. I made it through, and Blake slept with me, and we had a light on in the room. It's fine.
That's the difference between Blake and Brad, and I know that when we say their names together, it sounds like Breaking Bad, and I'm still okay with that. But when we go to a scary movie in the theater, Brad will try to sit a chair away from me so I can't touch him, and then he immediately comes home and shuts all the lights off and then hides and tries to scare me.
What an asshole. See, I would start crying, awesome. Which is probably why Blake can't do that.
He's like, nope, you can't touch me, you gotta watch it, and you can't close your eyes, and like he thinks it's so funny. So basically, like, I can watch scary movies now because like I have to be okay with it, or I would just...
You've been trained.
I do squeeze the shit out of Eric's hand.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where he's like, babe, stop. Like, there's no circulation in my hand anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Eric, tell them about this part that scared you so bad.
Oh, So I was kind of watching it thinking, okay, this is going to be dumb and it's not going to be really that scary and everything's going to be really predictable and set up and and what have you. And some of the parts, you know, were creepy, and that kind of usually gets me more than the jump scenes get me. You know, with people just like, you know, looking like they're out of it, staring off screen or whatever.
Walking behind you in the background.
Yeah.
That is the creepiest shit for me.
Yeah. No, yeah, don't like that.
So stuff like that is usually what really frightens me, but I don't even remember specifically what happens, but it was a scene where someone comes out of the dark or you turn around a corner and someone's there or something like that.
Okay, so the guy that was doing the filming.
Yeah, the black man.
It was his turn to go down the well. And he kept seeing one of those girls that was from the room of the people. And so she was like, walked past, and he was like, okay, I'm coming down. And then he turns around and she's like right there in his face. And then he falls down dead.
Yeah. That was the one that got me. That's right.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the girl that he saw walking out of the club?
Yeah. That's what I think they were doing. Yes.
I don't understand what the connection was though, I guess.
But yeah, that was that.
She was just weird. Like, I think she was just like, I don't know how I think it was just like a coincidence that she was in that club and then down in the cave.
Well, it could have just a thing that that was
being the devil.
It could have just been a thing that that was what was on his mind, and it was just like a mind.
Like
that was his evil.
Yeah, it could have been. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But anyway, so I thought that, I thought it was, again, more effective than not, kind of like the last film. Like I enjoyed it well enough, but, it wasn't one that I'm going to go out and buy, or wasn't one that I'll probably rewatch unless, you know, we're just sitting around looking for something to turn on, I guess. But,
no, we will find something different.
But, oh my God.
But it was,
never ever.
I thought once they started doing the going down deeper and deeper, I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Like, that's really fucking freaky. And I really, really liked how they're having to climb down out of the manhole that should be climbing up, and the whole, you know, reversal of things. And I thought that that was interesting just visually to look at, to see them do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, I thought it was fine. It wasn't one that I'm, you know, gung-ho about that I'm going to tell people to go buy, but it was interesting enough.
What do you guys think about when she had to run back through and get the, like, replace?
Oh, she had to go put the jewel back.
Like, she had to go all the way back and do it again, and then come back, and they were still alive. I thought that was a little
far-fetched. It was, like, in 20 seconds, and it took hours to get through, and there was all these times where they couldn't get back there, I thought.
I mean, by the time...
closing, I just had gotten lost,
and
I would have just laid down and died at some point,
and
not tried to go on.
Well,
but
we would have brought liquor with us, and so we would have just sat somewhere and started drinking.
I could just see, like, the cruises just laying down.
You know.
Well, I could see the three of you just laying down doing, like, snow angels and crying.
I was thinking more like leaning up against the wall with my sunglasses on, like, drinking Captain out of the bottle.
I mean, if you're going to go out, you're going to go out in style.
Yeah.
I would probably be fighting people, but I'd be drinking.
Yes.
I'd be like, stay away from my bitches.
Yeah. I just, like, by the time it got to that point, I was so lost, like, where everybody was. And I was like, oh, they finally got to whatever cave. And they're like, oh, so it wasn't the right cave. And, like, I think after they said that, I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah. I don't care. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
And one of my almost incoherent ramblings is, if she says we have to keep moving again, I will stab her. And then I wrote in giant letters, what did I say? So she must have said it again.
Oh, my God. What did I say?
Think it was interesting if you look at the trivia that this actually was filmed in the catacombs.
That's cool.
That this was not a set, that they actually filmed it down there.
Okay, well, maybe I do want to go check them out.
No, I don't. I don't know. I'm a pussy. I would get down there and be like, we're done.
And go to the entrance, snap a few photos.
Yeah. Right. I feel like that's what I'm going to do. I'd pay for the trip and then, like, snap, snap. Sorry, babe. We just spent $100 on nothing, sorry.
Cool, like, we're going to the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I'd be like,
touch a skull with the tip of my finger.
Let's go.
And be like, woo!
I would just say, alright, you drink your coffee, I'm fucking going in. Drink your coffee and wine, I'm gonna do it.
Oh.
And then we could go to the Louvre and somewhere else if there's time. Yes,
I've been there. It's beautiful.
If there's time. one thing that I thought was, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like this was a realistic movie, but the fact that they carried that giant camera so far.
I was right?
Like, just leave it. At this point, are you really worried about what you're catching on film as far as just trying to live, I guess?
Exactly. Like, you cut the head cams. Like, give it up.
When GoPro's not enough. Seriously. We need all of the angles. I mean, like, I don't know. There's just, there are very unrealistic things going on. I mean, besides the whole Gates of Hell thing, but like, how is this 19-year-old girl at the beginning of the movie sneaking into some country and like,
she has 2 PhDs.
Yeah, right? I don't understand that.
She's really smart, you guys.
Right. Okay. She, yeah. Okay.
Also, I was kind of hoping that once they started pushing, I was like, it's a manhole. It's going to be the outside. Like, this is their escape. I kind of figured that out initially. I was hoping that it would be to China.
Oh my God.
All the way through. I thought they were going to do something like that, but I was
where was the magma core of the Earth, Katie? Did they just miss that?
Imagine if they would have done that. That'd have been so fucked up.
That would have been awesome. You know what? That's like a Monty Python ending. That's what that shit is. Like,
that's my kind of movie.
It's China, and they all just turn around and look at the audience, and then it turns off.
Yeah. Oh, Katie, that would have been great.
See, I'm telling you,
your mother was a hamster, and your father smelled of elderberries.
All right. Well, do we have anything else about As Above, So Below? If we had to rank them, how would we rank these 4? Rachel, you go first.
I would go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just 1, 2, 3, 4, as we talked about them?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I would rank them on a scale of 1 to 4. That's all I need to know. Yeah.
Katie, what about you? What do you think? Stranger Than Fiction's number 1, clearly.
Obviously, Victor Victoria is number 2, Vampires is 3, this movie is 100.
is it lower than Snowpiercer?
Yes, I would rather watch Snowpiercer again than this movie.
Interesting. What about you, Strauss? What do you think of these 4? Scintillating.
I think it would be like 1, 2, 4, 3.
Oh, okay. I would go 2, 1, 3, 4, I think.
So basically you two failed.
That we didn't pick Victor
right,
Victoria
exactly.
First.
Exactly. That's why I said.
No, I mean like you two failed in picking movies.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Yeah,
and that's why we hadn't even got to our movies yet, and I said you guys won this round.
Because you watched ours first because I'm selfish and I wanted to watch mine first.
Sure.
And well, I'm admitting it. And we got done with those and we're like, all right.
That's
and then
sucks.
We watched the other ones and we're like, oh, good on the cruises. These are good. All right. We don't have to just go, oh, yeah, this movie sucked for an hour like we did when we did the box office flops.
Yeah. Oh, that was a bad idea.
It was. At least we got to see what did the worst of all time.
Yeah, I will never forget Tina Davis as a pirate.
I did not enjoy having to sit through those.
She soldiered on, though. Ugh. All right, well, Cruiser, why don't you wrap us up unless anyone else has anything else to say? No?
Puppies.
All right, Cruz.
Okay. If you have any comments for the show or movies you would like to hear us talk about that don't suck, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79 and me at LadySizzyLag. You can also follow Anel at Anel Elizabeth or Katie at Cat_Akisms. I just had to put that in there. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search Plain Little Podcast and look at the old boy toilet picture. And if you wanted to help us out a bit, you can go to Amazon and look for our wish list. It's full of movies, equipment, and if you could buy liquor on Amazon, it would be full of liquor and a whole host of other goodies. So search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with more movies we missed.